that he regularly prays for them, that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they will be pleasing to God and be strengthened with his power. He then launches into this glorious, almost poetic exaltation of Jesus in verse 15. He highlights Jesus' work of reconciliation, and then in 23 and 24, he transitions to talking about his participation in the work. Let's start reading in verse 24. I'm reading out of the ESV. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Paul does an interesting job here in that first verse of acknowledging the incredible hardships he endured without really focusing on them too much, it seems to me. He used it as a springboard to explain that his ministry was a gift, a stewardship from God. He then shines his light on two things. First, he says that this is a stewardship, or that this stewardship or responsibility was to make the word of God fully known, to be an agent of revealing this mystery, the mystery of Christ in us. And secondly, he focuses on the recipients, the targets. We proclaim this Christ to everyone, he says, with one goal, that is to present everyone mature in Christ. This, Paul said, is what keeps him going, what makes him willing to completely expend himself. I trust we can all rally around that goal, that concept. I trust also that we can evaluate our own efforts to see if they align with that goal, places we spend our energy. And I applaud Rise for setting this goal as their focus, their mission, the goal of presenting children mature in Christ. Now, Paul includes an important modifying phrase here. He says, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy, God's energy, that he powerfully works within me. His toiling is indeed a struggle, but it is a spirit-empowered struggle. He is operating out of the energy that God has poured into him. I think that's instructive. He's not thinking, if I can work just a little harder, I'll reach my goal. No, he is working out of the God energy he has received. If we're running out of energy for the work we've been called to do, perhaps we need to slow down and let the God energy refuel us. Maybe we're actually getting a little ahead of God. Transitioning here a bit. You'll be hearing more about the history of Rise in a bit here, I think. But I'd like to talk about a recent development that has actually been incubating for quite a while. Well over a year ago, the Rise staff began discussing the possibility of turning over the directorship of Rise to a board. I believe it was early this year when the Rise leadership and perhaps some other staff met with some of the pastors of the area churches to get their counsel. The questions they sent to us to consider ahead of the meeting were these: should we assemble a board to provide oversight and leadership to Rise? What should the makeup of such a board be? If no board, is there anything else we should do to maintain a strong, sustainable relationship with you and the area churches? You referring to the pastors. What advice or input would you have for RISE in general? Benji sent us this in an email before the meeting. I quote, "The reason for this meeting is to seek a model that is sustainable. We have been losing passion and simply losing staff members for some time. I need to be replaced as administrator, but we think that perhaps we should get a model in place before I step down." Well, to make a 9-month story a little shorter, 10 months probably by now, the pastoral teams have selected 5 men from Word of Life, Cedar Crest, and Center to form a board for RISE. Their spouses are invited to join them in the meetings. The members are Wes Miller and Eddie Mast from Word of Life, Randall Miller from Cedar Crest, and Oren Yoder and Brian Schenk from here. I'm personally excited about this move and about the people who have agreed to become involved. I'm wistful about how slowly the wheels have turned to bring it to this point, but I'm hoping that a proactive board will make up for some lost time, and I think that's what they are. The current state of that process is that Brad and Tim and I, unrelated to this meeting tonight, but we are actually getting together tomorrow morning to arrange, work on a plan for organizing the board and to arrange kind of a semi-formal transfer of ownership and then turn them loose to do their job. Now, some of you may be thinking, oh no, not another committee. You may be remembering what Leroy said, there he is, about appointing a committee to get rid of committees. I think I understand. But I would like to ask you this. Why did we organize a school board back in the 70s? And in the last decade, why did we set up a deacon committee? And why did we set up a Hands of Christ board? I believe the answer is the same for all. We saw a need, and we had a vision to address that need. Now, RISE started out as a fledgling enterprise, and I doubt the founders had much of an idea what it would look like these 7, 8 years, something like that, later. Like a lot of ministries, they didn't envision the need for a board in the early years when RISE seemed pretty small. But now they are confronted with the questions of sustainability and other related issues and feel like it's time to seek a broader ownership of the effort. And we pastors agree. We believe that the ministry of RISE is worth investing in. I personally believe that RISE gives our church an important interface into the needy world of Hutchinson in a way that is similar and yet distinct from Hands of Christ. Obviously, I am concerned about the families that RISE can minister to, and that is probably motivation enough. But my vision is broader than that. I see this as roughly comparable in some ways to other ministries and training opportunities like Hillcrest or Faith Builders or IGO or the CASP program, you name it. What these all have in common is that in the process of meeting a need or achieving a goal, young people are learning life skills for building the kingdom of God. If you don't believe that working with RISE provides an opportunity for growth, I suspect you've never been there. The staff workers are constantly being challenged, stretched, I think, confronted with their own inadequacy to meet the huge needs of the children in their care. So, are these young people learning, and will what they learn translate into kingdom building in other contexts? Well, I probably can't promise that, but I suspect the answer is yes for many, and I can assure you that the opportunity certainly is there for that. So my point is simply, whether your vision is to reach out to, in compassion, to the disadvantaged families of Hutchinson, or whether your vision is to equip young people to be builders in the kingdom at Center or elsewhere, I think RISE is one of those efforts that we can appropriately support. Now, I would like to just kind of wrap up with a caution that's not meant as cold water. You remember I made some comments about the importance of the critical nature, actually, of God energy being what drives us and what gives us the wherewithal to accomplish what we're doing. That applies to this too. If RISE is worth doing, it is worth doing with God energy. And frankly, it's the only way that it's going to be successful. And so I certainly encourage anybody to consider involvement, but I don't encourage simply piling on top of everything else, because somehow I have the feeling that God isn't necessarily, God isn't necessarily going to just automatically dump more God energy into you because you decide to try one more thing. That he knows what you can handle, and he knows about how much God energy he wants to pour into you. And if you're going to say yes to RISE, probably you should say no to something else. And you who are involved know some of the struggle of that. And I am not at all trying to discourage you with that, but I do encourage you to think carefully about those kinds of things. Let's pray, and then I'll take the announcements. Thank you, Lord, for the lives you've touched through RISE, lives of the staff, lives of the children there, lives of their parents. I ask, God, that you continue to show us what you want to do with this. And I pray tonight, Lord, that each of us will understand a little better about how you are working and how you want to work. And Lord, we just want to open ourselves to what you are telling each of us as individuals about our role in this. Is it simply praying tonight? Is it making prayer a regular part of this? Is it supporting in more tangible ways with presence or whatever? Show us, Lord. We want to be listening to the calling, the stewardship that you are giving us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, your announcements. All right, there you go.
Would invite your prayers tomorrow. Sabrina has a reconstructive foot surgery tomorrow morning at 9 in Wichita, so appreciate your prayers tomorrow for that, and the rest of the week she'll have a cast for 5 or 6 weeks after that, so thank you.
Thank you, Keith. David?
I'm going to be telling you a little bit about the history of RISE. But I think a lot of you have heard this before, so I'm going to try to keep it really brief. The first night that we had RISE, which was probably like 6 or 7 years ago, I think, something like that, we met at a little building on the corner of 5th and Adams. It's just a little bit east of the Dillons there. And did I point the wrong way for east? I'm sorry, I'm so bad at directions. It is east of Dillons, but it was a deaf church when we first started meeting there. They would meet there on the weekends, and we'd meet on Tuesday nights. And it has since then been like a game room, and then just recently it was a little thrift shop. I'm not sure what it is now, but that's where we started, if you can picture the building. We started out with, I think we had 12 kids the first night, and just a handful of staff. and we didn't really know what we were doing, but we wanted to teach kids about the love of God, so we just gathered everyone we knew and brought them and told them Bible stories and taught them Bible verses and sang songs with them, played games with them, fed them snack, and then took them home. So since then, that's kind of like how and where it started. There have been many, many, many changes. Like, almost everything looks different now than when we started. The staff has changed dramatically through the years, and the kids have also changed. There's still a few kids that were there on that very first night that still come to Rise, but most of the kids are new since then. And our location has changed. Now we meet at Word of Life. They have generously given us their building for many years now. Once we outgrew, it didn't take long to outgrow that little building on Adams. A lot of things have changed. Probably one of the biggest changes is just our program or our curriculum or what we do every night with the kids. That seems to be continually changing. We've decided we never want to fall so in love with a program or the way that we do things that we're not flexible to change in light of the needs. And the needs are constantly changing, and our group of kids are changing, and so we want to hold that loosely so that we can best meet those needs. And also, I just think if we hold that loosely and are flexible, then it's easier for the Holy Spirit to direct us and give us new ideas, and we always want to be open for that, because probably the one thing, there might be a few things, but the biggest thing I think of has not changed since the beginning of Rise is just our dependence on Christ. Like, when I think of the first days of Rise, one thing that always is stuck in my memory is just how we felt that dependence so strongly. Before every Tuesday evening with the kids, we would just have like intense prayer times where we were just begging God to show us what to do, and we didn't know what to do, we didn't know what it was going to look like, and we just wanted it to be, we wanted him to lead out, and we wanted to follow whatever he had planned for the future. So just a lot of seeking God for direction and asking him for his Holy Spirit and wisdom and strength to do that, because we know that, like, all of our strength comes from Christ in Rise. So yeah, many things have changed. That hasn't changed. And we still, every Tuesday before we start, we as staff gather early to pray together before we start the evening. And we have like about a half an hour where we just really ask God for his strength, for his guidance, for his Holy Spirit. Because looking back, God has been so faithful. Like, every need that we have ever prayed for, he has given that to us generously. And every time it's like, every time we need to take a new step, he's been so faithful to show us what that step is, and just very generous with the resources then to move into that. So one of the things now, a change that we're looking at is, well, like Arlen said, our mission statement is leading kids to spiritual maturity. And our vision to go along with that is that these kids grow up to someday be pastors and teachers and worship leaders and servants and builders in their community. So that's our goal. That's like what we would love to see happen with these kids and with Rise. And recently we've been kind of noticing that it seems like there's a gap or like a few steps missing in our effort to reach that goal. So we have We Rise, which is the youngest kids, and then we have Middle Track, and then we have Teen Track. And we hope that as they grow and go through the program, that as they get older and give their hearts to Christ and develop like a love for him, that they will want to then take what they've learned and put that into being leaders and builders in the kingdom. But it seems like a lot of our youth will be in Teen Track for a while, and then when they get older, they just kind of age out, or they just kind of like stop coming, or they're just like, this is kind of the end, and I don't know that they really get bored with it, but they kind of feel like their place is over or they're through the program. And we don't want to leave them there because we're not reaching our goal or our vision. So I want to tell you really quickly about an idea that we have and that we're working on right now to develop. We want to create a spot for junior staff. So we're hoping that as these teens, if there are teenagers who have given their life to the Lord and they want to serve and are ready to kind of step into that new role of teaching and serving and being builders in the church, we want to create a space for them where at Rise they can become like junior staff, and we would teach them, we would mentor them to kind of train them to be staff at Rise. So it would be everything from like just maybe the less fun parts of being staff, like setting up and tearing down every night and making snack and cleaning and kind of the practical work that goes with it. But then also we would love to teach them how to present a Bible story or how to tell the gospel or train them so that they can teach other people in these ways. So we don't know like exactly what it's gonna look like. We're still trying to develop it, and we're hoping that there can be kind of a group that they would go through a program of sorts with a mentor, and throughout the evening they could help with Rise, maybe they could tell the Bible story, they could help with all the work that goes into an evening, and then we would have time to process that with them and to see how they handled situations and maybe instruct them even just in ways that they can care for the children and so on and so forth. So we don't know, like, we haven't started it yet. It's not something we've implemented yet. So I would just, like, invite you guys, if you have any ideas or any input, please talk to me. We're trying to just, like, get it together, and we feel like that could kind of bridge the gap between them, between Teen Track and them just stopping their attendance, and then with the tools that they've learned in Rise, that they could then take those and become staff and become like teachers and worship leaders and servants and builders. So yeah, I'm serious. If you have any ideas, please talk to me about that. And if not, that's fine too. But pray for us as we consider that change.
And they usually have some sort of craft or coloring or something after their story.
Today we recognize the importance of telling stories, how God has met us, how he's worked in the organization, how kids have seen him and learned about him. And so for the next few minutes here, you're going to hear from just a few of the staff on in ways that God has showed up. And we try to tell these stories. In fact, they're important enough to us that we spend the end of our evenings talking about the evening and sharing these stories. I believe Angela will be speaking, and she will also include a little bit of a plug for our mentoring program, so keep your ears open for that. One quick story I have in a way that I was encouraged was recently we were having trouble with a particular child, and I was talking to her parents and just kind of ask the question, is this the best place for her? You know, is this, would there be a better way? Maybe this mission, this organization isn't where she needs to be. And her parents said, we really want her and her older brother to come because we know it makes a difference in their lives. And that's a huge encouragement to us when we hear that from the people that actually live with them the rest of the week. So you'll be hearing from a few of the staff now.
One of the roles that I have at Rise is the mentoring coordinator. And somehow I didn't realize I was going to get stuck into this section of the evening, so I kind of am mostly going to be talking about mentoring and kind of our goals with the mentoring program, and then also my experience as a mentor. And I thought one of the easiest ways to just present what we're doing with the mentoring program is to read to you portions of the letter that we give to parents when we have a mentor that we would like to match with a child. I send this letter home with the driver, and it's kind of an introduction to the program. So here's just what we say. Dear parents, at Rise Kids Church, we want to help your child grow spiritually. We are seeing that one evening a week is inadequate to teach your child all that we would like for them to learn about our Father God. Therefore, we are offering to match your child with a mentor to spend one-on-one time with them. This mentoring will take place apart from Kids Church approximately 2 times a month. We envision the mentor being a positive role model to your child. The mentor could partner with you to coach your child through life's problems or just to serve as an older brother or sister. Each mentor will choose when and how time is spent with your child. Our goal in doing this is that children would come to grow into spiritual maturity, to learn to know Jesus, and to become positive examples and contributors in the communities that they are a part of. Kind of a lofty goal, especially when you start out with a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old. I've been privileged to have this opportunity to have a relationship with Yazzie, and I think you probably, most of them, you have met her, for 5 years now. And she's grown from the 8-year-old who dreamed of being a famous singer to a 14-year-old whose goal is to become a social worker. She's still the born leader that invited all of her friends to come. We had a high percentage of kids from Avenue A School because that's where Yazzie went. And as I think about back over our years of mentoring, the thing that stands out to me is that faithfulness eventually bears fruit. Yaz went through a stage in which she didn't want me to say anything about God. If I tried to bring up anything what the Bible said or anything about God, she's just like, don't talk about it. And I think that probably lasted for over a year. And it was pretty hard on me because it's like I'm putting in this time week after week after week, and I'm not even able to talk about the main reason I'm doing it. But I felt like God was telling me to stay committed to her, and that I have to put in the time to show that I care and to demonstrate that I'll love her no matter what. And I feel like that eventually earned me the platform to share about Jesus and his perspective, his answers to the things we were discussing. She's now willing to talk about it again. And during that time, I think it was when she was probably 9 or 10, I was reading through Matthew 25 about the difference between the people that Jesus said were genuine disciples and who wasn't. And so I tried to think through ways that we could plan activities to do some of those things, like feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick, that kind of thing. And it was partly an effort to help her experience the joy of giving instead of the joy of taking. And interestingly, it just clicked so quickly for her, and those tended to be her favorite evenings. And she would, if I kind of hadn't come up with something new for a while, she's like, can we do something for someone this week? I want to do something. And afterwards, sometimes she'd say, I feel like this was the best mentoring activity we've done yet. And she's just experienced what it's like to give to others and develop relationships. And she's also experienced the pain of getting attached and losing someone. She became pretty close friends with Kay. I don't know if you guys remember Paul talking about Kay, but she's a Hands of Christ lady that we would go to visit, and we went to the funeral together. I remember asking her why she decided to become, I know that in school, they really push them to make choices in their electives and stuff to try to think through what you want to be when you grow up. And I've been noticing a change and a shift over the years, and now she's saying she wants to be a counselor, she wants to be a social worker. And I asked her, why do you want to do that? And she said, I want to be like you. And I want to help people who are going through hard stuff. And I think that's the career that I can do that the most often. And to me, this feels like fruit that comes from years of investment. She's still a teenager. She still acts like a teenager sometimes. And she's still growing. She's still in the process. But I see her turning her life towards helping others, towards focusing on others, towards giving back. And that's really exciting to me. It's also exciting to have her now open to hearing what I have to say about spiritual matters and to discussing it, bringing things up even. And I'm committed to continuing that journey with her. In our mentoring program, just a little bit of a plug, if you're thinking about becoming a mentor, we're not asking you to commit to 5 years running. It's just what has happened to work out for me. We do ask for a one-year commitment, and that is a commitment to meet with a child at least twice a month in whatever way works best for you guys. But obviously, if God lays it on your heart and opens it up, I feel like long-term commitment is probably one of the most powerful ways to disciple. And just let me know if it's been something that you've been thinking about. I would be happy to talk to you and try to get you matched up with somebody.
I'm going to tell you a story about a Jesus moment, otherwise referred to as yes, something really cool happened. We get a lot of those. Sometimes we get a lot of the stories where this kid did this thing again. This child was a really big handful tonight, that type of thing. How many of you that are not regularly involved with RISE, how many of you heard the name Delasia or seen it in the newsletters? Quite a few. Their names popped up. Either she's refused to talk to people after a conflict, or she's been right in the middle of a conflict. We had a Jesus moment with her a month ago, approximately. She's had behavioral patterns and responses that has led to us working with her a lot in the past, and I, myself, and a few others were involved in some physical restraining on a route home one time. It was not fun. And I saw in the story, I saw scenarios in my head where it could have gone to something like that, but it didn't, and God helped her choose the right thing. The scenario was, Anna is her route driver, and she did not get the seat in the van that she wanted. She reacted to this, ran back inside, and shut down. She refused to talk to anyone, and so Anna was talking with her, trying to get her to cooperate and come back to the van, but nothing. So Anna wisely pulled in another staff member to help, and that person happened to be me. I don't remember where I was, but I joined the conversation, one-sided conversation, and tried to get her to talk to me. You know, what do you want? You know, and she even refused to tell me I want to sit in the front seat of the van. That was the level of where she was at. And there were other people in the foyer there, so eventually, after a few minutes, she did go outside with us, which was really great. And after a few minutes of a stalemate there again, I pulled in Emily, and we talked a little bit, and then we sent Anna home with her route, with the thought, maybe, you know, if Anna can go home, we can work through this. And this whole time, the memories of one of those past problems was running through my head, and I did not want to have another situation escalate or blow up again. I didn't want that to happen, you know, for her to have that on her conscience, or for us as staff to have to navigate that again. I did not want that. So I was praying really hard. I'm sure other people were too. And eventually, it was interesting how it happened. I stepped off to make a phone call. I wanted to get some perspective from another staff member who wasn't there at the time, and to get her home address and stuff. While I was gone, she talked a little bit to Emily and was willing to have Emily take her home. And at that point, I thought, I think everyone wins, because number one, she's not running away from us. Number two, there's nothing that's escalating here. So she went home with Emily. She opened up. Emily had a great talk with her mom and got some perspective on a few of the routines and structures that Delasia needs in her daily life. And that was really helpful. And also it was really reassuring to know that we as staff and her mom are on the same page. Is there anything else that I missed there? And from what I understood, she was really grateful for how that ended. So once Emily came back during hash time, I was blown away with how the evening ended, how her evening ended compared to how it could have. And that was the Jesus moment that hasn't happened very often for Delasia. So keep praying for more of those.
Thanks, Arlen, and the rest of you who shared. I have a few things that I would like to say, and I wondered if we could close in prayer. And David, would you mind closing the service in prayer? And would you mind remembering a couple of things that were mentioned? I remember the ordination and the election, and then Keith had a prayer request. I don't remember the details of that. Can you remind me? Okay. Yeah. Was there anything else that we ought to remember? Okay. Would you mind being ready to close the service in prayer in that way? Super. All right. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for your time and attention. I have a couple of things I'd like to thank, other things that I'd like to thank you all for, some ways that you can get involved, and then just a few closing thoughts. And then I'll also open it for questions. If you have any questions, I don't know if I'll be able to answer them all, but I have some people here who might be able to help. But I'd like to thank you all for a couple of things specifically. First of all, for the food that you all provide. Many of you families have provided food for the children, and this is really significant work. There was a time in my life when I thought, well, this is America, this is the land of plenty, and no one should be hungry. But actually, 1 in 7 Americans struggle with hunger at some point during their year, and even more children struggle with hunger. So it's about 1 in 5 children, American children, struggle with hunger. And I imagine with the demographics, low-income families that we serve, it's even greater with our kids. In fact, there's one family, and they're not well off. They have about 5 or 6 boys, and most of them come to Kids Church. And they'll often go through the line and fill up their plates and eat as much as they can, and then when it's time to go home, they'll go back through the line and just heat their plates, just like nearly as full as they can make them, and carry them home. And I don't know the details of their grocery situation or whatever, but it seems to indicate that maybe they don't always get enough nutrition. And so thank you for that. Thank you for bringing that and providing that. That is a very important work. And it's something that Jesus says that will actually be brought up on Judgment Day. That's something that's so important that when you feed the hungry, that Jesus remembers it when he's taking account of everything. So I want to thank you very much for that work. The other thing I want to thank you all for is the culture of Center, the culture of mission specifically. And I think that probably most of you who are familiar with the history of Center know that in the 50s, there were some men, some of the patriarchs or the founders of Center went into service, and it was in large part because of that that Center started. So it's from the beginning that's sort of in the DNA of this church, that church is not just about the people within these walls. That it's also, church involves reaching outside of the walls and reaching the people around us. And when this idea was first sort of had its genesis with some of the teenagers, including Heidi and others here, they spoke, I believe Heidi spoke with David, And his endorsement was just so strong that she felt his blessing, or the church's blessing, to go ahead with it. That again is related to this, to the culture of mission here at Center. And it has, not only has we have we felt the blessing of everyone around us, but it's also formed us. So many of us have attended Center and have been impacted by what's celebrated and what's honored here, which includes mission. And so I thank you all for that. All of you, even if you've never been to Kids Church, are part of that culture of mission. And I want to thank you all for that, sincerely. There are other things that I could thank you for, but those are the specific ones that I wanted to make a point of. There are a couple of ways that if you want to know more about RISE, that you can be involved. One is, we'd love to have you come visit. It starts at 6 with our prep time. We worship and pray together before we go pick up the kids. And then at 7, most of the kids arrive, so you can come either 6 or 7. And then we take most of the kids home around 8:40 or 8:45. So we'd love to have you visit. You don't need to plan ahead. I mean, well, you should check with us to make sure it's the right week. But we'd love to just have you come and drop in and see what God is doing there. Pray for us. We really need your prayers. There are many, many stories of kids who deal with what seems like spiritual oppression and darkness. And there was one family in particular who believed that their house was haunted, and that's not particular biblical language, of course, but they told stories about doors opening and closing without anyone being around. One of the boys said that he was pulled from his bed and deposited on the floor without anyone else being in the room. There's other kids, and they were so terrified by this that they chose to move to another place. There's other kids who've seen things, and I don't know. I'm not an expert in spiritual warfare. I don't know the details, but I've heard enough to know that there's serious spiritual oppression and darkness that these children deal with on a regular basis, and I don't know what causes it. Maybe it's generational sin or drugs, or I don't know what all can cause these things, but there is darkness, and we engage in spiritual warfare as best as we can. We need your prayer support. Please pray for us. Another way, I thank you for this, but we appreciate your ongoing support and bringing food for the kids. We're very grateful for that. Staff. We would love to have more staff, and we're limited by how many kids we can serve, by how many staff we have, which is probably pretty obvious. But and there's no particular age limit. If you love the Lord and you're between the ages of 16 and 116, we would be happy to talk to you about serving as staff. We would welcome more wisdom on the team, so we'd be happy for that. The mentoring program, Angela talked about that. And again, that's something, if your tolerance for noise isn't that great and Tuesday evening seems a little overwhelming and you would prefer to interact with the child one-on-one, that would be a wonderful way to get involved. And in some ways, we've seen as much impact through that as we have through our Tuesday evening. So we'd love to talk with you about that as well. Okay. I have a few closing thoughts, and then I'll take your questions. So most of us are familiar, of course, with the story of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Why is it always fishes? Nobody says fishes in, like, normal life. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus was preaching, of course, and after he finished preaching, there's a large crowd, 5,000 people, and he says to his disciples, "Feed the crowd." And the Bible doesn't say exactly what their expression was or what their tone of voice was, but they were pretty skeptical, and they said, "Jesus, this would take 200 denarii, which I'm told is about half a year's wages, so maybe $10,000 or more. It would take thousands and thousands of dollars to do this task." And Jesus was unflappable, as he is wont to be, and he said, "Well, what do we have? What do we have here? What is available to us right now?" And the disciples brought forth this 5 loaves and 2 fish. And if I would have been a disciple, I would have been no less skeptical. I would have been at least as skeptical about the task after those were brought forward. Of course, Jesus broke the bread, broke the fish, and turned one loaf of bread for each 1,000 people. Each 1,000 people. My grammar is not... for every 1,000 people. That still doesn't sound right. fish, one fish for every 2,500 people. And he fed 5,000 people. Which is, of course, miraculous and remarkable and was probably surprising to the disciples. And I'd like for you to hold that image in your mind as I talk a little bit more about our vision. So our mission is to lead kids to spiritual maturity, and we could have chosen many missions. We could have offered daycare for busy, frazzled parents, and that would have been a good thing to do. We could have set out to get as many commitments and baptisms as possible, and that would have been a good thing to do. There would have been many things that we could have chosen. We chose this, and this is what we have, for better or for worse. And that, so every Tuesday evening, that is our goal, is to move the kids a little closer to spiritual maturity. And then our vision, as Heidi mentioned, is to bring these children into a realization of their spiritual gifts and to plug into churches. We want them to be church builders in the future. And if we close our eyes and imagine a future of success, it would be that some of our kids would plug into churches. Because we believe that the kingdom is invisible in some ways, but that the church is the visible manifestation of the kingdom. So we believe in the church. That's part of the reason why we chose the name Kids Church, because we want to serve the church. And so I just invite you to imagine with me just a little bit, with some of our kids, and I'm glad Arlen introduced you to Delasia, because I was thinking about her tonight. And Delasia has been coming to Rise for some time. And when she started, she was very, very hyperactive and very difficult to deal with. I've never met her father. I know that her mother works very hard to provide for her children, and I believe that her grandmother lives in the home with them, but I think she's had a difficult upbringing. And in fact, she was so difficult for us and beyond our expertise that we said that we can't serve Delasia at this point in time in our ministry, which seems kind of like defeat. We weren't all that thrilled about this direction. But Louise Nisley stepped up and she offered to mentor Delasia, to do some things outside of Tuesday evenings. And she went out on a regular basis. She went out and picked her up and brought her back to Harold's. And they did things at home. They did things in town. She spent hours and hours connecting with Delasia. And Delasia still has a long ways to go, but we brought her back. And when she came back, I barely recognized her, because she was calm in a way that she hadn't been before. She was mature and was responsive. And sometimes she was almost a leader in the way that she helped other kids along. Now, as Arlen mentioned, she's far from arrived. She has a lot of things that she needs to continue to work through. But I want you to imagine a little bit, even further, beyond the growth that we've seen. And I want you to imagine her going through high school, completing high school, and then maybe finding her own place, and maybe plugging into McGee Chapel on Sherman. And imagine, this is all hypothetical, imagine with me for a little bit, she starts a small group for girls, maybe girls who didn't have a father, young ladies who didn't have a father and who are struggling, maybe struggling with some of the same things that she dealt with. And imagine Delasia pointing them to a heavenly father, somebody who can be a father even when you don't have a physical father. Imagine. We have a boy in our teen track, and he is smart. He's so smart. And he loves to talk, something that I'm familiar with. And he loves to ask questions, and sometimes he asks questions just to show off. He just like he just wants to talk and he wants to express himself. And he's smart, and so he's a pleasure to be around. We're grateful for him, and he's a challenge sometimes. But he's just a smart kid who's comfortable expressing himself. And I want you to imagine a little about his future. You know, maybe he goes to college somewhere, and maybe he takes some classes, and maybe he asks too many questions in his classes. Maybe, I don't know. But maybe he learns to develop his mind. Imagine him getting married. Imagine him having children. Imagine him coming back to Hutchinson and pastoring a church. Imagine he would get to, every Sunday morning, he would get to talk for 30 minutes about whatever he wants. Imagine. Now, this isn't probable. It's not. We have, I don't know, if we've estimated maybe 500 kids come through Kids Church. But what if six of them would find a future like that? What if 12? What if there was, I don't know, 20? I mean, what could happen? I could change Hutchinson. These kids grew up and plugged into churches, discovered their spiritual gifts, and really built the kingdom through the church. That would be incredible. But it's not likely. It's not, statistically, kids follow the path of their parents. And if these kids follow the path of their parents, it's not that pretty. It's drugs, it's broken families, it's substance abuse, it's all kinds of things. And all we have, I really appreciate Arlen's devotional, because he emphasizes two things. One of the things that he emphasized was our limits to give. We are limited, very, very limited. And we're confronted with that on a regular basis. And then our need for God, and our need for God energy. And what we're attempting, what our vision is improbable. But we serve a God who specializes in the improbable. And even though we just have like this little, like five loaves and two fishes, just this little thing that we're bringing, and we show up Tuesday nights and we try to bring it and we fail and we fail and we fail and we mess up and we try something new and we experiment, and we just bring this little thing and we recognize how great the task is and we recognize how that God has to intervene for anything to come of this. But that is the God we serve, and we believe in him, and we believe that he is just as able to multiply what we bring to him as he was 2,000 years ago by the Sea of Galilee. So that's why we do what we do, and we don't, I don't know, we've already lost track of, you know, dozens of kids, and we don't know where God is going to take them, but we have faith that he's able, and that's our hope, that someday that they would grow up, they would mature, and they would plug into churches, maybe here in Hutchinson and maybe somewhere around the world. Thank you all so much for your attention. I'd be happy to take a few questions if anyone has them, and then we'll close. Any questions? Yes. That's a good question. We're smaller now than we used to be, but I think I would guess it's probably around 50 children. Does that sound close? Is that low? Is that high? Oh, yeah. So maybe about 50 kids now. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Okay, let's all rise for prayer, and David.
Father in heaven, thank you this evening for the ways that you have been blessing the work of RISE. Lord, we just acknowledge that while there is, while the task seems far too big to even attempt, that's the kind of thing you specialize in, and then you take the little bit that we can give and multiply it into something so much bigger. Lord, we just pray a special blessing on each of the staff that serve there, and pray that you will give them grace and strength, a lot of wisdom too, and wisdom for the newly founded board, that they will be able to guide this ministry in a way that is sustainable. And Lord, tonight our hearts go out to the many children in Hutchinson who are lost, and we just recognize that there is a lot of sadness, a lot of pain, and just a lot of hurt in the city of Hutchinson. And so we lift to you those needs and pray that you will work in the hearts of people, and pray your blessing on RISE and the staff as they minister to these children and to their parents as well. Pray that you would send reapers to this field, and perhaps you will stir in some of us in our hearts to be mentors, prayer warriors, and serve you through this ministry in different ways. So we just pray that you will touch all of our hearts tonight with regards to how we can be involved. Lord, thank you too that you want to meet the needs of our congregation and people in our congregation. Thank you for Sabrina, and pray especially that tomorrow as she undergoes surgery, that you will give the doctors skilled hands and wisdom to know what to do and how to do it. And pray for Keith and Miriam as they stand by her, as well as the rest of the family. We pray for the little church in Oswego that are expecting to add another leader to their leadership team on Sunday. Might you bless those efforts, give them rest, and may they find their strength in you. And then we think too of the elections in Kenya, and especially those who are there from here, and how that this kind of atmosphere, this kind of environment impacts everybody. I pray for Joe and Marilyn in particular, that you will keep them safe and that you will give them rest as well, along with the other AMA workers that are there, but the country in general. Lord, we know that you are not the author of unrest, and so we just pray that you will overrule. Tonight, Lord, we again just bend our hearts before you in gratitude for all you've given us, and we pray that you will help us to move forward in carrying your message and your word to those around us and to those in the far reaches of this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.